And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Hey, let me ask you a question. Let's just go down through here because this stuff comes to me, okay? Are you cold or hot? Preacher, I'm saved. Okay, what's your relationship like with Jesus Christ? What is your relationship? Is it cold or is it hot? How would you classify that? Now, don't lie to yourself. Don't let your heart deceive you. Be honest about it. And answer yourself, is my relationship with God's Son cold or hot? Let me ask it like this. Are you closer to Him than you've ever been? Did you have more zeal once before than you do more so now? If you had more zeal 5 years ago than you do today, it ain't hot. Okay, let's be honest. It's not. That's not hot. And it may not even be cold. It may just be lukewarm. And I find myself there, church. I'm not throwing stones. I find myself there in that lukewarm condition. My God, I'm not exempt from this passage. I find myself being lukewarm. Not cold, not hot, just straddling the fence, somewhere in between, cold or hot. Well, he said, I know thy works, thou neither cold nor hot. He said, I would that thou wert cold or hot. He said, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because, why? Why? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Then he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man will hear my voice and open the door. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Verse 19, we're going to say it one more time. He encourages us to have some zeal about repenting. Be zealous and repent. We look oftentimes in America as repentance a dreadful thought. And it's hard to sit there and look at yourself in God's mirror. It really is. It's hard to hold yourself up to the light of God and to see yourself through the eyes of God. That's tough. That's hard. But he said we ought to be enthused about doing that. It ought to be a desire in our heart to hold our life up to this book. It ought to be something that we do with great excitement and fervor to, man, don't beat around the bush, but just get after it, man. Get after seeing ourselves through God's eyes. Be zealous about it. And, you know, I don't have to reveal to you all that zeal is. We talked about it a while ago. People zealous for everything in the world, and there's nothing wrong with some of these things. Would you believe your pastor wants to pay his house completely off? My house had two mortgages. We paid one off. Felt good. It's a good thing. And now my wife and I are starting to investigate and look at ways that we can start doubling up and pay the other mortgage off and be debt-free on our house and have our house paid for. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Man, that's a blessing from God. You say, why would you do that? Not so I can go on more hunting trips, though I might. Might be able to take some of that money and go fishing next week down there in, you know, Clemens or Louisville, sneak in somebody's pond. Buy me some gas. I hear one giggling back there, but I sneak in ponds, y'all, where people, we have to hide literally behind bushes so we don't get shot. I'm a lie.
I have before. I ain't done it a long time since the Lord convicted me. We was down there in Mississippi one time, y'all, and we was fishing. Me and my wife, we found a little golf course up there, and that golf course had fishing ponds all over it. So we went out there when the golf course closed, and I'm telling you, I threw a rod out there, and as soon as he hit the water, I set the hooks, and I mean, man, as soon as he hit the water, a bass jumped on it. Man, I'm telling you, that made me take the Lord's name in vain. I said, hallelujah, thank God. I mean, you know, maybe God was in it, maybe he wasn't. I started amening them bass fish. Am I lying about this? So I threw it out there again, man. As soon as he hit the water, Michael, another bass jumped on it, and I did it again, another bass. I did that 7 times until the 8th time I went to set the hooks, and my rod snapped. And I went, that was a cheap rod. I bought one of them telescopic rods where I could stick it in a bag and carry it out there, wouldn't nobody see it. One of them that you pull. Cheap. I said, well, this golf course closes. I'll bring the good stuff up here that won't snap, and we'll start setting some hooks. Went up there, y'all, and I was fishing, and I'm telling y'all, you don't catch 10-pound bass often. When people tell you otherwise, they're telling fish lies. I've never caught but maybe one or two in my life. I caught once a big one time, and I had 17-pound test line. It come jumping up out of the water, Miss Holly, and it scared me. I thought it was going to eat all. It scared me because I thought, man, this thing's going to get away, and sure enough, it took that 17-pound test line and snapped it like it was thread. I mean, it was big. It was nice. I couldn't tell you. It might have been 2 pounds, might have been 20. I don't know. But it was big. Man, that fish come jumping up out of the water. I was down on that golf course. And all of a sudden, here comes this police, and he's circling around the property, shining his light. And I'm down there behind some willow trees and some cattails, and I got this 10-pound bass on the line. He's done come jumping out of water twice. And I'm going, oh, my, that's a big bass. So here comes the police, and I'm down there literally catching a fish like this behind the cattails. Hiding. Get him up there to the bank, Michael, and I go pull him in, and that thing falls off my hook right there in them cattails. What do you do? I went in after him. It ain't every day you catch fish that big, son. I jumped in, I bear hugged that thing, and the police is setting up. I do all this. And the Lord said, you shouldn't be here if you got to hide. So I couldn't even get that thing mounted or convict me. Ain't got nothing to do with anything. I'm just telling you a little crazy story. Get that house paid off. Wouldn't it be something if we could take some money and support a missionary out of some of that? Huh? I'm just trying to tell you, there's nothing wrong with having some of this stuff as goals and ideas in your mind to get your stuff paid off and make life a little bit easier on you, relieve some of the burden. One of the things that old man back there said to me when I did leave Mississippi, he said, and I wished I'd have paid closer attention to him and obeyed him a little bit more. He said, son, don't get yourself in debt. Because when you go bury yourself in debt and God wants to use you, you're indebted to take care of those bills now, and you can't go be used of God as God pleases. Instead, you have to stay grinding at the mill and take care of all them bills you've done indebted yourself to. And you know what? He was right. So you can free yourself up when you get a little debts paid off. You can free yourself up to do a little more for Jesus. And some people use that for an excuse to never do a thing more for God. Never. God forbid we do it like that and handle it wrong. Let's do it and make this thing about God. Let's turn it for His glory. But he encourages us, ladies and gentlemen, to have some zeal. As much as we want to pay our house off, we're going through measures, Eric, to do other things. And we're wanting to maybe sell some stuff on eBay or to make a few more crafts or a little more furniture and set up on the side of the road and take that money. And we make us some Adirondack chairs and sell them things and put that money toward the house. And that's great. But where's that zeal for repenting? Where's that zeal to draw nigh to God? Where's that zeal to walk in the Spirit? When's the last time some of us has made preparations? We listened to John Wesley. Did you hear him talk about teaching school? Yeah, you heard him. Talking about teaching school. You know what they did? They prepared their house the day before. Miss Wesley would go in there and do all the chores, and they'd get everything out of the way. That way they could get those children in that classroom environment without everything else bothering them, without everything else piled up on them. And she could teach them the way they ought to be taught. First things first. Make preparations. I wonder, Miss Denny, was the last time we made any kind of preparations. Okay, I got to get this stuff out of my way. Get everything out of the way. Push everything aside. Because tomorrow, we're going to dedicate that day unto the Lord. We're going to get after Him with everything we got. Let nothing stand in our way. Where's that kind of zeal at for God? I'll be honest with you. I kind of look all year forward to this time of going up to New York because just the way God has made it special and met with us a few times up there. It is special, ladies and gentlemen. It is holy, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you, man, we ought to try to make some kind of a special preparation to make sure that me and my wife and my husband and my children, my spouse and my family get to sit there and be partakers of the goodness of God. Where's that zeal at? Do everything in my power to get to God. Do everything in my power to get to God. It's good. We've worked jobs before and did everything in our power to get them jobs taken care of so we can meet with the Lord. He said there are things that He's going to point out in our life because He loves us. And in turn, we should be excited to turn or deal with our life as God sees fit. And have some zeal for that. My life bring glory and honor to Him. It's good. Look at verse 20. He said this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We know good and well this is sweet communion. This is Him inviting us to a good relationship with Him. I like that question one more time. Where's your zeal to have that right relationship? I like the fact that He's not picky either, ladies and gentlemen. He's not picky, He's not partial, He's not prejudiced, but He said, if any man will hear my voice. If any man, it's not His will that any should perish, but it's His will that any man should answer that call. It's His will that any man should answer that door. Man, God wants to have fellowship with a human. It's amazing. He said, if any man. So many times we've made people feel like second-class Christians. I want you to understand there's no such thing as a second-class Christian. No such thing. There's been things that we've been through. There's been things that we've done. There's regrets that we all have. There's no such thing as a second-class Christian. Get this. This is hard for most people to see. Do you realize that if you do not have this closeness, this communion, this relationship with Christ today, that you are exactly who He's talking about in verse 17. If you're not going to answer that knocking in verse 20, you are exactly who He's talking about in verse 17. That's hard. Let's read it. Who's He talking about? Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? You will never have communion with Jesus Christ. You will never have a relationship with Him. You will never have a closeness to Him. You will never draw nigh to Him and Him draw nigh to you, and you walk away and say, man, I'm such a good person. Just don't happen. I mean, God don't have to tell me that. When I get in the presence of God Almighty, man, He is so good. I just can't help but to see how bad I am. Right.
Zach was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. God showing up, and man, it was God because we ran the aisles. And well, we shouted, and I'm all for running the aisles. Listen, I love to watch people shout. I love to watch people get in the spirit and take off. Man, run around the building, run around the county, swing from the chandeliers. I don't care. I've seen people in the tent meetings climb them tent poles and that tent sitting there just waving. I like it all. I'm going to tell you what I found to be true, Eric. Every time God really does pass by, there's a holy hush. It's a quietness. It's a still, small voice. So it's not so much in the thundering, and it's not in the rumble. It's not in the roar. It's not in the lightning. It's that stillness, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he said this, Miss Holly, be still. Be still and know that. Yes, I believe there's a manifestation. Yes, I believe 100% there's a manifestation that'll make a man jump up and hit that aisle, take off, and shout the shoes off. Amen. I believe there's a manifestation that'll make a woman live in holy, that at the house, shout her bobby pins out, friend. I believe in that. I thank God, and I love that manifestation. But I'm going to tell you something. When that glory does come in, I've seen people just kind of bow down. Divine presence of God. Man, I'm telling you, never get in His presence and feel like I'm somebody. I always realize what I am. Once in a while, I can withdraw myself from Him. Michael, once in a while, I can get a distance between me and Him, and I start thinking I'm okay. Doing pretty good here. I got things right in my life, Miss Debbie. I can get over close to Him and that light starts revealing junk in me. You get real close to Him, friend, I tell you, He starts uncovering all kinds of stuff. These things down in that heart, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about saved or lost. There's things down there in the corridors, in the secret, covered up down deep inside of your heart that you and I never have any clue about until we come into His presence. He starts uncovering and revealing that glorious gospel, that light. Starts revealing things to us. You know what I think? I think we're to have a zeal to get there. Be zealous. Be zealous about it. We're to have a zeal to have that meeting place and have a zeal to have that communion with Jesus Christ. This is where my mind gets blown today. I've literally heard preachers say stuff as, I'm off the clock. Zach, am I lying about that? I've heard preachers, because Eric, the conversation, the lifestyle, the idea, the situation was calling for some carnality. And you can make mention of certain preachers that I've been around, and I've had certain preachers look at me and go, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm off the clock now. In other words, I'm not in the pulpit. I'm not in the church. We're out here in the everyday life. And this is what he was basically saying to me. I have two sets of standards, one for church and one out here. So help me God, one of the biggest evangelists in our country today told me that. One of the biggest in the sword of the Lord told me that. Personally, face to face, I'm off the clock. Wouldn't bother me if he listened to it and heard it. I'd like for him to know how sick and wretched that was. Here in our text, ladies and gentlemen, God's not pleased with that. If our relationship with Christ in here, Michael, if our relationship in church is anything at all, it's going to be because our relationship at home is what it ought to be. You will never come to church and punch the clock and have any kind of communion with Him. You'll never come here and have any kind of great manifestation of His Spirit. You'll never enjoy the goodness of God here unless first you're punching the clock, so to speak, down at your house and walking with Him on the job, walking with Him in the living room, walking with Him down there in the grocery store. I'll tell you something, friend. What God sees us do in the secret place, He'll reward us down here in the public place. I said the other day about the church and the home. It's the same institution. The church and the home are the same institution. God instituted them. two different elements that make up this one institution. One's private, one's public. And God said, what I see going on in the private is what I'm going to reward you by in the public. And I'm telling you, God's knocking. He's desiring. He's wanting to see our zeal to have that relationship with Him, to repent. Man, I'm telling you, to get back to that first love. God help us. Here in our text, He encourages not to let the dust settle under our feet. Not to let the grass grow underneath our feet. If there's something that God's brought up, if there's something that God's enlightened us about, we're to have a zeal. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off. Don't let that grow cold. Don't let the embers go out in your heart. What God has put His finger on, if God has touched any area of our life, we're to have some zeal and immediately move towards God with that. Immediately have zeal. Let me ask you, those that say that you're saved in here, where's your zeal? You say that you're born again and I have to trust you according to your testimony. I'm just asking you a question without even looking at you because I don't want you to think I'm giving you an assurance. If God can't do that, then you're in bad shape. But where's your zeal? Where's your zeal at? Those of you that are called by His name, I'm going to tell you why people around you is lost, because you've lost your zeal. Can I be honest with you? They ain't no God. They can't hardly find God in a saved person. And this lost and dying world can't hardly find God in a saved, so-called saved man to save their life anymore. Stop and think about that statement. It's so easy for sinners anymore to start pointing their fingers. I didn't say it was right. I just said it was easy. It's easy for lost people to sit around and point fingers anymore. Because they're so godless. Those that are called by His name have no zeal. There's no... I mean, man, when's the last time some of us even headed out a gospel track? When's the last time you had any kind of a burden for just your neighbor? I mean, enough burden, you know, not to watch TV or, you know, make a couple more dollars, but enough burden has to go knock on the door and tell them something about Jesus. Enough of a burden to keep you up at night praying for them. Oh, I need to sleep. No, what we need to do, we need God. We need to get to God. Do you know what the people's problem around me is, Eric? I'm not throwing stones at this congregation. I'm preaching to myself. You know what the lost people's problem is around me? It's me. God shows that to me all the time. It's me. Man, they need to see God in me. If they can just see God in me, if I could just have that realness about me, then maybe they can see something that they might desire. I don't have enough God about me most of the time to make a lost lady want what I've got. Do you? More times than not, I usually can just, you know, blend right in like a chameleon with a bunch of godless freaks. They don't even know that you're saved anymore. See, God convicts me all the time that the people around me need to see God in me. It's easy for preachers to stand up and hoop and holler and throw rocks and point fingers and preach down at people. But I'll be honest with you, I think if God's men across this country would get some God about them, then maybe some of the lost people around them could see the Lord and come to know Him. I know it's true in my life. God shows me all the time my shortcomings. He shows me all the time where I messed up. He shows me all the time. Do you understand? I can sit in this congregation and I can point out stuff that's wrong all day long, Eric. I'm talking about in religion. I can point out other preachers and show you the error of their ways. I can show you other congregations. I can show you person after person after person that professes to know Jesus Christ, that lives like the devil himself. And I can point that stuff out all day long. You know how many lost people that's going to ever help? None. Never will that help a lost man. Boy, if I could help point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, you hear me? Oh, God, if I could just stay near that old rugged cross, and I mean have the residue of Calvary just flowing out of my life, baby. I'm telling you.
new maybe. If I could just stay close enough to God, if my old heart and life could be right enough with Him, then maybe I could help point some old sinners to Jesus once in a while. Huh? We know these suckers is crazy. We know the church crowd's gone nuts. Following after the flesh, following after the almighty dollar, following after popularity. I mean, the old timers has preached this stuff for years. I challenge some of you, go back 30 years ago and listen to some of them 30-year-old sermons of Lester Roloff. Dear God, they told us about this stuff years ago. Percy Ray, they told us about it years ago. Now here we are living it, and we're seeing what used to be old-fashioned, old-path Baptist people sitting around there dressing ungodly, and they listen to ungodly music. They're entertaining the flesh, and they're chasing a dollar, and they're building up their popularity all in the name of self and religion. You know what? I could point every bit of those issues out, and I do. I don't know if that'd ever get a lost person to God. But if I could be where I ought to be with Him, my relationship was right. Boy, if I had the presence of God just oozing out of me, and I believe you can. You think Moses had the glory of God? Huh? How much more could you and I have the glory of God? How much more is there glory after Calvary that God is wanting to give to those who would draw nigh to Him? I mean, man, here was one man up there on the mountain receiving the law of God, spending some time in the presence of God. And here we have a God saying, come now, oh, if you'll draw nigh to me, oh, come boldly unto the throne of grace. God is begging us to share His glory. He wants to put His glory on us, babe. Thoroughly convinced that if we would get in that presence of God and get the glory of God about us, then maybe others could see that glory and see the good works of our Father and glorify Him. Right. Where's your zeal left to be closer to Him? Is your prayer closet as good as it ever has been? Is your study life as good as it ever has been? Is there more of a desire for you to dig in the resources of God's grace than ever before in your entire life? Is there more hunger, more thirst for righteousness? They ought to be. You know why they ain't? Because we're blind and wretched and miserable. We need God's eye salve. Huh? We're naked. We need God's eye salve. We don't even see it. We don't even realize it. We've let that zeal slip away. We've left that desire, that hunger, that communion, that fellowship, that closeness, that love, that realness just kind of fall away. And now we've settled for some kind of thing called the norm that's so far, it's so abnormal that we don't even realize it. Talking to those that are called by His name. The sooner we figure out this flesh and never be satisfied, the better off we'll be. I want to get my house paid off. That's not spiritual, ladies and gentlemen. That's something I want to do with my flesh. Miss Debbie, if I pay my house off, it won't satisfy my flesh. I'd like to have, I'm just being honest. I'd like to have me a nice Z71. I'd like to have me one of them Denali HDs, son, just jacked up. I like it. Say, what for? Man, you can run that thing down through the woods and get to the fishing hole of your lifetime. I'd like to have me a nice pickup truck. Like to have, and I know what happened. But you know what? That brand new, we looked at the day, $60,000. That truck was, you seen it. I mean, had all the package, right? I looked that thing up, $60,000 at least for the truck. Don't satisfy. It won't satisfy.
You know what? I ain't trying to pick on nobody. God knows my heart. I've never met a satisfied rich man. I've never met a multi-billionaire, and I know quite a few of them satisfied.
We've got friends that's got money galore, man. They got it coming out their stinking ears. And they just cannot get enough. They give brand new stuff away, don't they? They buy it and just turn around and never use it. Pile it up. They buy it, pile it up, hoard it up. Turn around a few years later, it's still got the tags on it and everything. They just give it away. Didn't need it. But there's a horse leech. There's a horse leech living inside of me. And he's crying constantly, give, give. It's never satisfied. It's never satisfied. And the more I give it, the more it cries. The more I give it, the more it cries. Give, give, give. And I can't give it enough. This stinking, filthy flesh. God help us get to the place where we hate it. Get to the place where we reject it. Get to the place where we deny it. Get to the place where we die to this old self. Say yes to God. Flesh ain't never satisfied. Never in my life seen a crackhead go get one smoke of crack and walk away and say, man, that's going to do me for my life. But I tell you what, I have seen 1,000 times over. I've seen them go down there, Michael, and get them an innocent little rock of crack and turn around. I've watched them sell their children. I've seen them pimp their children. I've seen them sell their couches. I've seen them sell their televisions. I've seen them sell their vehicles. I've seen them get rid of their wives. I've seen them lose everything in this entire life. But one more rock. Why? Because that horse leech says give. Give and never can be satisfied. Jesus said, I got something over here in the book of Isaiah that'll satisfy you. You can come and you can have it without price, because the price has already been paid, and you can have it without money. I'm telling you, friend, Jesus is the satisfier of our soul. Amen. It's the only thing. I'm telling you, church, I hope that there's at least one of you that can get on board. But the only thing that ever satisfies me in my entire life, oh yeah, I take pleasure in some of these things. I take pleasure in watching a good fight. Man, it's good. But the only thing that ever satisfies me is that walk with Him. Boy, I'm telling you, to get in that secret chamber. Thank God, son, where everything else is out. And it's just you and Him. Boy, you get in there, and I mean, He begins to just kiss you with the kisses of His mouth. And you can honestly testify and say, thy love is better than wine. You can lift up your hands and say, this is my friend and this is my beloved, and He is altogether lovely. His mouth is most sweet, and I'm telling you, His desire is towards me. And I'm telling you, church, the only satisfaction I've ever found in my Christian walk was a closer walk with Him. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, get down there. Some of you men, you got wives and children. So that just means you ain't got no time. You got to get up in the morning, probably 4 o'clock in the morning or earlier, to find you a time to sit down with the Word of God, because it will satisfy you, friend. I'm telling you, my days are upside down. They're inside out. They're everything but right, Miss Holly, when I try to start my day without Jesus. But church, there's something satisfying about sitting down with the Lord and gathering the mind of Christ and seeing things through the eyes of God, and getting His thoughts about life and getting His thoughts about things, and just getting a hold of something out of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, sometimes you're reading through this book and it ain't nothing but just one little old phrase and 10 or 15 chapters of reading. But I tell you, friend, it'll satisfy that soul. It'll help you make it through another day. It'll help you, thank God, have that communion with Him, because you just fellowship one with another. We're to have that zeal. Where's that zeal to get them nuggets? Where's that zeal at? Where's that excitement? Have that kind of relationship with God's Son. I just wonder how long it'll take some of us to realize the longer we try to satisfy this old flesh, the longer our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to suffer. I don't know, Eric, maybe you can help me, and Michael, maybe one of y'all can help me, Zach. But I just kind of think that when you get away from God and stay away from Him for a day, it seems like it takes a week or so to get back. I mean, it seems like when you get out of fellowship with Him, when you break that communion with Him, man, I'm telling you, it just seems like sometimes it don't take but a minute to get away from Him. But Mr. Eddie, that minute seems like it turns into a month, and it's hard. It's so unsatisfied. It's so miserable to be out there outside of His communion. And I know I've heard the preachers use the illustration that when Mary and Joseph left Jesus, they went one day's journey, and what it take them 3 days or a week to get back to Him. I found that to be true. But you know what I found out? Most time, wherever you leave Him is where He'll be. Most of the time, Eric, the very place that we stepped out in disobedience, I don't care if you went one day or 1 month. Usually, in order to find Him, you're going to have to go back to that place of disobedience. And I mean, do it with some zeal, friend. I would do it with some zeal according to the Word of God. We're to be glad to go back. We're to be enthused. We're to be excited to be able to get back to that place at whatever it takes. Let me give you this. If God deals with you to go over there to your neighbors, knock on that door and look them in the eyes and tell them about Jesus Christ. And He's done it. And you do not do it. Trust me. That will be when you get off track with Jesus. That'll be when that communion's broke, that fellowship's broke, and you're out of touch with God Almighty. And it may be, hey, friend, you can start reading your Bible, you can walk away from there, and you can go home and read your Bible, and for the next month, not pull your nose out of the Bible. But I'm going to tell you something. You're out of fellowship with God. You left Him over there. It doesn't matter what you do, where you go, how you do it, friend, until you obey Him right here. You're not going anywhere else with Him. That's right. You want Him? You're going to have to go back to that place of disobedience and get that junk right and start from right there and take back off. That's right. God said, listen, you're not beat around the bush. You're not Him, Hall. You're to have some zeal about getting this thing right. Right. I've seen people disobey God in soul winning and never get back on track with God. Never. I've seen people, Eric, that's got saved and God has put it on their heart to stand up and testify and proclaim to a lost and dying people what God has done for them, and they disobey God, and I've never seen them go any further with God in their Christian life. Never seen it. Whew. Tough, boy. It's tough. I'm done. 2 questions. How long has it been since you've been overwhelmed with the goodness of God? How long has it been? If you're waiting to come to church and get something from the Word of God, get something good, if you're waiting to come to church to rejoice or praise God or worship, you've waited way too long. You're not going to get it here. You're going to get it down there in that secret place. How long's it been? I wonder who would answer the knock at the door of fellowship with Jesus. What door is that? It's the door of opportunity. Man, He's knocking at the door to come fellowship, to walk with me, to draw nigh to me, to sit in heavenly places. I mean, all the goodness, all the blessings of God, He's knocking there. Would you be a partaker? Good. Trying to encourage our church today to have a closer walk with God. I believe often, church, that the saints of God get where they ought to be with God. How many times you heard me say it? I could take you to the church in L.A.J., Georgia, where they still do it. There's a center aisle in that church, Michael. And the so-called saved people sit over here. And all the so-called lost people sit over here. And they consider that sheep and goats. And the reason they said that originated to start with is so that the goats could sit over here and watch how much people enjoy God over here. And these people could want what these people had. Could you imagine that today? Could you imagine a people that had been down there at the house and having that communion with God in such a walk with God that when they came out to the public place that the glory of God shone round about them and the lost people around could go, oh man, I wished I had that. Oh, I wished I had what they had. Boy, I tell you what, I'm telling you, church, I remember watching old brother Sammy Allen when I was a little boy. I didn't have a clue what that man had, but I knew I wanted it. Boy, I wanted what that man had. I didn't know it was God. I didn't know it was the Spirit of God. I didn't know the Holy Ghost. But I knew He had something that I wanted. All right. Father, we thank You for this day. Help us, oh God, as a believer. Those that are called by Your name today, Lord, would have a closer walk with You. God, to get out of that seat of complacency, which is a hard seat. Many straps, many belts to hold people in that seat of complacency. I pray, God, that You'd break every stronghold today. Help us, God, with some zeal to get back and repent, Lord. Get back to that first love. Get back to the fellowship, that communion, that good, right standing relationship with Jesus Christ. We give You the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.